Welcome to a brand new episode of the ER Podcast, the chronicle of American business and technology. Managers who are leading to growth in business and increased profits by automating those time-consuming tasks that nobody likes doing. It's about building the digital framework to scale unpredictable markets with maximum certainty. There's hundreds of enterprise software products. There's 1,000 business stories in every city. Here, we take a look at the forward leaps of clients and industry affiliates of Profit from ERP.
Welcome to this week's episode of the ER Podcast. What's the best ERP? That's the question on everyone's mind. Well, maybe not everyone. That would be kind of hypey. But we're going to look at a couple topics today. What's the best ERP? And how do we cut through the hype to get to the heart of the matter, which is creating profit from our ERP efforts? Profit from ERP, it's a good idea. Now, ERP always starts with selection. There are hundreds and hundreds of ERP products out there. There's probably 50 top programs that work in a wide range of companies. So what's the best one? Let's go online. Let's start there. Google, what's the best ERP? And we find all kinds of helpful resources. Here's a top 10 ERP report. Okay, now we can download this top 5 ERP ranking, and we'll soon be called by some sales guy. And then here's the ERP shootout, the top cloud ERP. This list goes on and on. Is it helpful? Well, not really. I mean, let's take a look at this one, the best cloud ERP solutions. Their top option lists SAP S/4HANA Cloud. So far, so good, major player. Here we read about it in the description. It says it's a next generation integrated ERP software that is designed for businesses of all sizes. Hey, wait a minute. To start, knowing that SAP S/4HANA is a next generation integrated ERP software, well, that's nice, but it doesn't really say anything. And then when you hit that designed for businesses of all sizes, okay, maybe you can argue SAP is the number one ERP in the Fortune 500, probably even the Fortune 1000. But SAP has a horrible time competing in software evaluations in the mid-market. We've had evaluations with our clients time and time again and included SAP, and their concept of serving smaller businesses is widely in variance with what smaller businesses actually buy and implement. It's kind of like a viewpoint meets reality moment. I mean, SAP has Business Design, SAP Business One, all much smaller than S/4HANA and touted to run in the smaller business arena. But here's the thing. When S/4HANA consultants are charging $350 per hour, and they do, and there's a team of 7 of them, and they're expecting to spend the next 18 months on your project, and not only that, but they're also expecting you to set up an office for them on site, and we're going to need a few of these Price Waterhouse consulting guys as well. Okay. That's fine if you're Coca-Cola or BMW, but if you're a brand new emerging IPO mid-sized corporation, you would choke on the costs associated with an implementation project of that scale. And now, here comes SAP Business One. Okay, it's actually made for the mid-market. Even there, while a 9-month implementation process is actually way more affordable than the previously mentioned 18-month project, and the $250 an hour guys are less than the $350 an hour crowd, and there is a crowd of them. So from SAP's perspective, it's a huge bargain. But from the perspective of a mid-market corporation evaluating Microsoft, Infor, NetSuite, where the costs are 50% less than Business One, well, we've had one mid-market client in about the last 200 evaluations go with SAP. And, you know, when we do get into an SAP-sized project, we partner with larger consulting organizations so we can march a platoon-sized crowd to the meeting just like everybody else does. But the point being, this best cloud ERP report that we downloaded from the internet telling us that the category leader SAP S/4HANA is for business of all sizes, that's not helpful. Because no one product fits businesses of all sizes, or at least in the known ERP universe. But let's push on. We're going to read another leader. Then they're talking about Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central on this report. We find out from our downloaded report that Business Central is a cloud-based ERP solution developed by Microsoft. actually, it's a 1987 code base created by a Danish firm called Navision that Microsoft bought in 2002. It was touted at the time as Microsoft's first billion-dollar global acquisition, and they rebranded it as Dynamics NAV, NAV for Navision. And then it was ported to the cloud 5 years ago, and they added the 365 cloud moniker. I mean, initially, we saw a lot of failed implementations with Business Central till about 2021. Lots of cost overruns in those early projects. In the last few years, most of the features formerly found in Dynamics NAV are now available in the cloud version. And if you go with the right reseller, big caveat there, it's a great option. It really is. We've been using it since 2001. Anyway, there are thousands of resellers in this Microsoft channel. And to give you an idea, they have this category. It's called the top 350 partners. So what about the rest? Out of what, 500, 800 partners? There's a lot of them, but not a lot with the experience that you need. In any case, we work with half a dozen really good Microsoft resellers, but none of this is in the Best ERP Solutions free report you downloaded. From that report, you're going to get such insights as Business Central offers a wide range of tools and features to support collaboration and communication. I'm all for collaboration, and in some cases, even communication, right? But that doesn't tell you anything about whether this is a great, good, or lousy option for your particular business. Now, here's a listing for NetSuite. I think there was a typo. I think it's since corrected. It said, NetSuite ERP is a web-based business management software. Okay, full stop. It's not a web-based software. It's cloud software. And not only that, it's made for cloud, which is totally different from taking a 1980s code base and then porting it over to the cloud. As a matter of fact, NetLedger, which was originally called, and then NetSuite, it was the first cloud ERP. And it's been so successful, every single other ERP now has a cloud-based version. But the reason it's so successful is not because it's cloud-based, but because it was made for cloud, which stands to reason that it couldn't be created until the cloud was actually around. The internet was in use. So it's written in the internet era and launched in 2002. Instead of being written as a DOS version in the 80s and ported to a Windows version when that came out, and then client server when that was hip, and then thin client, and then web-based that let users access it by the interweb within the company internet. No, that's not it at all. The report is completely misleading. And besides, the big guys in ERP, they're also listing a half a dozen others included in this list. Priority ERP, well, that's another one we've evaluated and we like it. It lists that they have 1,500 users. 1,500 users? Great. Well, NetSuite has 37,000 users. Business Central has an estimated 40,000. But before you could, those numbers even make sense. Here's a news alert. Software sellers' secrets revealed. It's the user count expose. Look, I once worked for a now out-of-business software company that claimed that they had 1,200 users of their process manufacturing software. Over all the PowerPoints, the brochures, everything said 1,200 users. And I was in the new logo division, new accounts, and the sales guys in the install base accounts were always complaining that they didn't get to take over the new accounts quickly enough because they only had 286 companies to work with in the install base. Now, wait a minute. I thought we had 1,200 users. And it was explained to me that the company had sold 1,200 licenses over the years. Some went off maintenance and were still using old versions of the software. That's not very likely, given the bugginess of this particular platform. But whatever, okay. And they said some of the companies using the software went out of business, and you can hardly blame the software company for that. Okay. And some companies merged, whatever. I wasn't real excited to tell anybody anymore that we had 1,200 users when we really had under 300 active users using the program. Now, I don't recall why that company went out of business, but anyway, user counts, like when you look at NetSuite, they're all cloud-based so that they know if someone is using their software or not. And currently they say it's over 37,000. Business Central has been around since the 1980s in one form or another. And Microsoft doesn't really publish user counts, but we found that in some older articles where is that 40,000 licenses sold, or exactly how many of those are in the new cloud version of Business Central and now up and running? Nobody knows. So you're looking at a new cloud version that has had a hard time starting up as it did a few years ago. Is it 40,000 users that are out there, or is it 150 using this new cloud version in 2019? I mean, wouldn't you want to know that? This report's not taking you there. And anyway, total user data isn't really reliable or helpful unless you know what's behind the numbers, right? Next, I took this report and I looked at the folks that wrote the best cloud ERP solutions report. Most of them are IT guys who work for a company that's using an ERP, but I couldn't really tell that they had any wide exposure to more than one or two ERP programs. So how would they know about all these best ERP programs? Anyway, point being, you do not get a lot of relevant, useful information from the list downloaded from the internet. You get a lot of word salads like scalable support for business process featuring unique medium to large business critical decision making, streamlined access to your data with streamless migrations, and numerous benefits for the fastest. It doesn't make any sense. Sounds like the marketing department at the software vendors got to write their own descriptions, which in many cases is really what happens. They pay to be in there. Also, did you find out that once you downloaded that report and the contact info you had to put in to get that free report got you a new voicemail from a sales guy 10 minutes after you downloaded the report? All that to tell you that when it comes to free ERP reports on the internet, in terms of valuable information, there's not much. Calls from ERP sales guys, okay, that's helpful if that's your thing, but you won't get much past that. Over the years, I've worked for most of the leading ERP vendors, and since starting Profit from ERP in 2013, evaluated hundreds of ERP programs with clients going through software evaluations with the product, how it's going to work in their situation. Often, a client will tell me they want to include something like SuperBiz Pro ERP, and I have to say, well, you know, I've never, all these years, come across SuperBiz Pro before, but if it's a good fit and you want to look at it, we'll find out in the evaluation. And the evaluation generally shows us that it could fit. I mean, I found out a while back that while certain ERP products might not fit what I would look for technology-wise, every ERP fits somewhere. And not every client company is a high-growth model. You know, some folks are happy to just kind of try to hang on to where they are. So if that's true and SuperBiz Pro works out, I help them make SuperBiz Pro the best ERP for them. Which brings us back to the overall, what's the best ERP? Truth is, there's probably several different ERP programs that could work for your business, and most are pretty good, some less so. But for every single one of them, no matter how well it performs, it's not up to the technology, the features, the supporting company, the consulting team. All of those are important, right? But the most important determinant of how successful any ERP system is already within the four walls of your company. That's right. You determine what the best ERP is by the actions you make. I don't mean that you figure out which one. I mean, you make whichever one you pick the best ERP. How well your team performs during the selection, during the implementation, during the training and adoption, long after the consultants have left the building. What's the best ERP? That's up to you. Now, how can I say that? Look, I did a study of all the clients I'd worked for from 1998 to 2012 when we first started out. 14 years of experience, just over 300 clients, probably 50 were local, small mom and pops, 200 were in the regional emerging company category. 50 were mid-sized, 10 large, and 10 like global firms. Various industries, various size companies. But many times, the same software, the same implementation consulting team, hugely different outcomes. While one company would be written up for their outstanding software success in trade mags and websites, the other was like, well, it works fine. So I studied the approaches, how each company approached the selection, the implementation, how they did the rollout, how they measured toward their goals of productivity and efficiency. And from there, I developed a methodology designed to become the basis of our approach at Profit from ERP. But by the time I'd finished, it became the total approach for Profit from ERP. And now 11 years later, it's the proven, replicable methodology we've done time and time again. Time and time again, he repeats himself repeatedly. Clients who adopt this methodology have outstanding success with new ERP systems. Now, you'd think they'd give me more credit, but actually it's them, okay?
The ER Podcast.
Clients who don't adopt the Profit from ERP approach, some of the saddest stories you've ever heard. Recently, a buddy of mine, we did our MBAs together, he went to work as the CFO for a client that I'd worked with a couple of years ago. I'd spent a couple of months working on their project, and then they just went dark. Didn't hear from them, didn't get a call back. Anyway, here comes the new CFO. Turns out the company had experienced catastrophic accounting problems, and they had rushed into a new ERP purchase. They ended up spending double what we had initially estimated the project to be and double what the ERP vendor had approved. Then they completely replicated the complexities that led to the original disaster, only this time using much more expensive software to do it. And what's that old adage about ERP and a train wreck of a company? The right software can get you to the site of the wreck much quicker. I would add that the right consultant can get you on a new track altogether and avoid the wreck. But that's just me. Anyway, back to the story. I remember telling my friend, the CFO, I remember that company, it was really complex. And he goes, no, it's super simple. Turns out it was once you had the right accounting process. See, the complexity was created from the lack of accurate reporting and the old software couldn't tie out transactions properly in the first place. But in the meantime, they'd wasted 2 years and spent $400,000 instead of the projected $200,000 budget using the same internal team that created the original problem. Like I said, ERP buyers don't know what they don't know. Kind of will live and learn or not. IBM used to have this adage, right? They would say, spend a dollar in planning or spend $10 in implementation or spend $100 to fix it after go live. So we don't want you to make any of these mistakes. We don't want you to end up with a $200,000 cost overrun. The ER Podcast is going to help out with your ERP planning. The concept is that we're going to document the Profit from ERP step-by-step methodology that successful ERP projects have followed. We're going to do it all right here on the podcast, the next 10 episodes, a step-by-step examination of the right methodology to do it correctly, as defined by companies that have already done it successfully. Now, you can choose to skip any one of these steps in the process. It's totally up to you. And it's totally possible to have those $200,000 cost overruns too. Anyway, on with it. Here's step one, client-side ERP expertise. You're going to build a project team of your internal department leaders, staff members, and external software consultants to implement the software. Early on, you need expertise on your side of this combined team. You can download all the free reports you want on the internet, but we saw what that little kabuki dance gives you. And you may have somebody on your staff that went through an ERP selection 5 years ago. They're not going to know the difference between an ERP that's ported to the cloud a year ago and one that was made for cloud ERP some 25 years ago and has 25 years online experience. You need to get somebody who knows ERP on your team from the long view. And we're not talking about advice from ERP sales guys or somebody vendor connected. You need to have someone that answers only to you. Someone whose interest is in your business's success, not somebody whose interest is in selling you something. The most successful companies who've done it have brought in client-side ERP expertise, either contract assignment or sometimes full-time hire. One company hired a new CTO, Chief Technical Officer, or sometimes they call him CIO, Chief Information Officer. In this case, the new CTO had been their software technical consultant and helped them write reports and configure modifications for the current system. They moved him into a full-time position, and he not only helped select and implement ERP, but then they did a warehouse management project, and then business intelligence software, then trace and trackability software, supply chain planning, about 8 different major software programs over 4 years. How? Well, as each software paid for itself and broke even, they'd then funnel the ongoing savings into the next software effort. It was an early example of digital transformation, kind of using a net zero cost snowball approach. And that company grew from a family-owned regional operation to a national leader in the industry. Now, you could also bring in large consulting organizations, but you got to be aware of senior experts that'll sell you the services and then junior consultants delivering the advice. Some people bring in companies like Profit from ERP. And with a name like that, we can hardly expect our clients to pay us unless we show them how project savings and avoided costs mean our services pay for themselves in the short run and Profit from ERP happens in the long run. And there's this new staff augmentation trend we've been seeing a lot of. We're seeing clients bring in a system administrator or a project manager on contract during the implementation. This works for a couple of reasons. One, your internal staff is going to be really pressed to get everything done for an ERP project, and they've still got a day job to do. So staff augmentation from pure add-on focus really helps out. Two, a system administrator already knows the software, and they can be the office go-to for all things ERP, an instant answer for every stumbling block and staff hit. Anyway, instead of staff members trying to figure things out and taking a couple of hours to get through that to get a task done, the sysadmin can show them the solution shortly, and they're done in half the time. Three, with the internal team working well, external consultant's job is going to be streamlined, and the end result is projects coming in under budget and well before deadline. We're placing contract system admin and project managers with more clients than ever before. Cost control from day one with no surprises a week before go live. I put an article up on LinkedIn recently, and it reads, I came up with this concept during my last implementation when I was doing fill-in sysadmin work. As any team learns a tool like NetSuite, they find new uses and poof, scope creep invades the project as they ask for this new function to be deployed. This particular engagement, I was really pushing the team into hour-long learning center sessions, doing training from day one, each one on the workings of their department and how to configure and use NetSuite. About halfway through the implementation, along comes the eager new user. Hey, you know what else we could also do? This would be great. And I said, hey, that is great, but it's not in scope right now. But let's not let that get in the way. So the next day, I'd assigned 2 Learning Center courses and put 4 or 5 Suite of Answers topics in his email. I told him to take those courses and look at the Suite Answers stuff and see how others had done it. And he should be able to figure out how to do this himself. And during the weekly meetings, I pushed his questions off and said, you know, wait until you finish your research before we involve the consultants. He finally got most of the way through there in the sandbox. And with a final 20-minute session with the implementation consultant, we finished configuring his suggestion, what he wanted. So he got the new feature he wanted. We didn't go out of scope. And best of all, he now has some idea how to take these things on himself in the future instead of having to rely on outside consultants. The most important thing about new technology is training up the staff to fully use it, both the configured solutions and learning how to configure new solutions. Anyway, like I said before, it takes current ERP experience to be able to develop these internal teams during your implementation. You need client-side ERP expertise in the very beginning of your project, before you set the budget, before you look at demos, before you try and determine which implementation team is best for your company. And that's step one, client-side ERP expertise. In next week's episode of the ER Podcast, we'll talk about step two, requirements. Putting together the list of requirements you're going to need, again, long before you ever look at a single ERP program. And this may sound simple, it does to most people, but what do you know about the culture conflicts within your own company and how to establish ramped ROI goals that takes into account the user's learning curve before they'll achieve mastery, or matching individual and corporate operational goals, the whole business analysis, along with vision building and user acceptance and bringing it all together under the cost revenue model. If you didn't realize these were elements of requirements gathering, you can really miss the target. Look, one last quick requirements story. I met with this new client a few years ago. It was a 9 a.m. meeting. And I started explaining the profit from ERP methodology. And we started talking about requirements. And they stopped me right there. They said, hey, we've already got our requirements done, down pat. We feel really good about it. And they passed over this list of 25 or so requirements. Okay, let's move on. As we continued the discussion, I kept hearing things. And that sounds kind of like a requirement. And I don't remember seeing it on the list. So I kind of jotted it down in the margin of my notes. And we kept going on, kept taking notes, more margin jotting. Around lunchtime, when we got ready to break, I turned around the paper around and showed it to him, my list of nearly 70 additional requirements that they hadn't thought about to put on that original list. Requirements which would rule out certain ERPs and demand others. Requirements that would define major company objectives versus nice-to-have features. I mean, it turns out they'd worked with a pretty clever ERP sales guy who got them to focus on the very few things his small software package did. But the point is, there's often more to it than you think, and you only learn these things going through these ERP implementations time and time and time again. We'll talk about it all on requirements on the next episode of the ER Podcast. It's how you get to profit from ERP. I'm Gene Hammonds, the host of the ER Podcast and the director of Profit from ERP. Wishing you a happy and profitable rest of your day.
This was another episode of the ER Podcast, documenting the ongoing evolution of profit from ERP with experience from over 450 ERP projects spanning the last few decades. We focus on the changes in technology emerging weekly, all to ensure profit from ERP. For links and downloads from today's podcast, visit profitfromerp.com, a production of Rolling Thunder Studios.